that song. Very often when we're, you know, it's your breath in our lungs. Whenever we sing the part, I always try to like take a deep breath. Can you guys take a deep breath for a second? As deep as you can. And it just reminds me, because I don't think about it often enough, that I got to take that breath because he gave it to me. And so I just wanted to share that with you this morning. I know it feels nearly impossible. That again. There we go. I forgot to check them before I put it on. All right. So, first of all, happy Mother's Day. I didn't remember to say that when we were doing the announcements this morning. So, happy Mother's Day. Don't forget afterwards to get your chocolate. I'm sure I will not have to remind you again. But as I sat down this week to try to just see what God wanted me to say today, what he wanted us to hear today, I started thinking through a bunch of the different options. I'm like, all right, it's Mother's Day. I could do a message on mothers. Not everybody's a mother. I could do a message on, I started thinking of Proverbs 31 and could work through that. And then I started thinking, maybe I shouldn't stand up there and tell women how to be. That seemed like it could be dangerous and possibly end up with my foot in my mouth. So I skipped that one. And then it hit me. There are so many messages out there and so many times where certain passages get referenced about wives submitting to their husbands. And I thought, you know what, maybe in honor of the women in our lives today, instead of telling you how to act toward us, I'm going to tell us how to act towards you. So, ladies, you might enjoy this one. Guys, maybe not so much. Don't stone me afterwards. All right. First, and thinking of stoning, we're going to take a quick trip back to ancient Israel. And we're going to look at what the first century view of women was, because it's not pretty. And this is before Jesus came. Now, generally speaking, the Jews had a somewhat dim view of women. They weren't allowed to get an education. Really, the only thing that they were educated in was raising children and keeping a house. Women were also largely excluded from worshiping God. If you think of Herod's temple, I don't like calling it Herod's temple, God's temple. right at the beginning, you enter the courts, like right towards the outside walls was where they had what they called the court of the Gentiles. And that's where the people who weren't Jewish were allowed to worship. And then a little further, they had the court of women, where the Jewish women were allowed to go and worship. And then even further they had where the Jewish men were allowed to worship. So they weren't even given the opportunity to worship in the same place as the men. A woman had no voice in her marriage. Or, like, in getting married. Her father determined who she was going to marry, when she was going to marry him, and why she was going to marry him. Didn't get a say in that stuff. It was also not, you know, generally it was not good to be seen in public. And they wanted to be in as little as possible. In fact, young men would get kind of like shamed if they talked to women in public or if they were seen with women in public. Women were just regarded as inferior, second-class citizens. But this was the view of women in ancient Israel. And it wasn't much better in other cultures at the time. You know, ever since the fall of humanity, this has been a problem. But something happened that changed all that. Jesus came. He came to change everything. So in him, we find God's view of women and how he sees them. Not man's view, not the American view, not the European view, God's view. Jesus was the visible expression of God. And so through him, we get to learn more about God and what his opinions are and what his views are. And his view in this was completely different than that of the culture. And as Jesus ministered, he just ripped those views to shreds. Or at least tried to. Some examples throughout Jesus' life of how he did this. One, he didn't necessarily even do it, but God came to a woman first to declare that the Messiah was coming. And that's pretty awesome. I was reading on that a little bit, and one person said, he chose a woman to bring the Son of God. I'm like, what else was he going to choose? That doesn't make any sense. He rose to the defense of a woman in adultery. He became her attorney and saved her life. And we're told in John chapter 4 that he went and he met a woman and he did something that shocked even the disciples. He talked to her in public. And this woman that he talked to, she was not just a woman. She was a divorcee. She was not just a divorcee. She was living in immorality. She was living in sin, in adultery. And everybody knew it. And not just those things were true of her, but she was also a Samaritan. And a Samaritan was someone that Jewish people just did not talk to. Because they were half breeds. They were only half Jewish. And for those of you who are Harry Potter fans, I believe that term would be a mugblood. Just to help put a little understanding to it, if that helps you. If it doesn't, just skip that I said it. But he talked to her in public. And not only did he talk to her, he forgave her sins. And then said, go and tell everybody else. He said, go and talk to everybody else. And he wasn't ashamed. Not one bit. He also uses women a lot in his parables. He tells of the woman who searched and found her lost coin. And the woman who was just relentless in prayer, or was relentless before the unjust judge who eventually gave in to her for her perseverance. And he talks of many other women throughout his stories. One other one that stands out to me is he was eating dinner at a self-righteous Pharisee's house. And this woman comes in and drops to her knees. And it wasn't just any woman, she was a prostitute. And she let her hair down. She broke her bottle and poured perfume on his feet. And then as she wept, she washed his feet with her tears and dried his feet with her hair. And the Pharisees were like, losing respect for him. Like, I can't believe you're letting this happen right now. I can't believe you're letting this woman touch you. But he wasn't ashamed. And he reveled in what she was doing, in the praise of God. There are a ton of examples throughout Scripture of where God totally should be changing our view of how this should be. He set a new standard, and it carries throughout the New Testament. We're going to look this morning at a few passages that give us some insight into how we should treat you ladies. The first passage we're going to look at this morning is in Ephesians 5. And yes, it starts out with the controversial part, where there's a lot of messages about this. And it says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands." So a lot of times we see this passage and we're like, you know, kind of stand a little straighter. We're like, yeah, that's right. But you know what? We forget to keep reading. It keeps going. It doesn't stop with this part. We can't take it out of context. The passage goes on to say, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." Now, before we get too far, I want to put this out there. A lot of the passages in Scripture on this topic refer to husband-wife relationships. So I want to encourage you to try to translate this a little bit into all of your relationships with women, whether it be your mother or your sister or your daughter or your friends. Translate this into the relationships that you have, because it's not just true of one woman in your life, but all of them. And the first thing that these passages tell us is that we are to treat her with love. Husbands are called to love their wives the same as Christ loved the church. And if you remember, which you should, because we talked about remembering on Easter, I think if somebody had a word count on how many times I said remember, it would have been a lot. I don't know what it was. But if you remember, the love that he showed was with his life. That's a lot of love. And it says, husbands are called to love their wives with the same love. Christ gave up his life for the church. And that indicates a sacrificial, substitutionary surrendering of himself. He put us before himself. And it says, love your wives the same way. So how should a man love his wife? Or his mother, or his daughter, or his sister? He should put everything, he should put her before everything. Except for God. Let's just put that in there. He should be willing to sacrifice everything. Just like Christ did for the church. He should make her well-being his top priority. He should care for her as much as, if not more, than he cares for himself. And if we jump back to that first part of the passage for 1 second, No woman will fear submitting to a man who does that. Because it's completely different. The passage says that Christ gave himself up to make the church holy and clean and pure, washed and clean. And he did so in order to present her to himself, blemish-free, wrinkle-free, nothing wrong. And now it's kind of dangerous to say we're going to translate that into how we should treat the women in our lives. So it's not literal. What it's referring to is that a husband should be as concerned for the spiritual growth and closeness of his wife. How close is she to the Lord? That's part of our responsibility and part of our love, is to be able to present her to the Lord and say, look, here she is. It says, husbands, love your wives like you love your own body. This is not in like a self-serving way, but more in like a self-preservation kind of way. Like, you wouldn't let that happen to yourself. Don't let it happen to her. You take care of her. You love her. You know, this is just a beautiful picture of the relationship that God wants us to have, where we are self-sacrificing, where we are loving as much as we love ourselves. One of the great commandments that Jesus summed up was, love your neighbor as yourself. Not love yourself, then everybody else next. Love your neighbor as yourself. This is not an extension of self-love. It's agape love. Love that seeks the highest good for the other person. And again, if you do that, no woman will have trouble submitting to a man who does that. The next one is to treat her with respect. We're going to look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so your prayers may not be hindered. Live with your wives in an understanding way. And that's not just, you know, a kind of attitude, like an understanding attitude. But it's also deeper than that. It's implying your consideration of her needs, of her desires, of her gifts, of her abilities, of your knowledge of the women in your life, of knowing them and understanding them. And a husband who acts on his knowledge will enrich his wife's life. Now, I know, guys, you're probably going, and I don't understand her. Try. Give it a whirl. God will help. And if you're even giving it an effort, it's a big difference. Now, next in the verse is one we got to walk a little carefully. It says, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel. You got to be careful here. Peter used the term weaker not to diminish women, but to build a case for respecting them. Not to bring them down, but to just change our view a little bit in how we should treat them. When he wrote this, women had less authority in the marriage. And we talked about that earlier. But he was encouraging the men to use the authority that they had in a way that showed their wife that they respected them. They valued them. And a man who respects women will protect them, will honor them, will help them. He'll respect their opinions, listen to their advice, be considerate of their needs, relate to them with love and courtesy, and tact and insight. If men use their position to mistreat their wives, they have no chance of effective ministry in life or prayer. It even says that in the verse. It said, so that your prayers may not be hindered. You mistreat her, it changes the effectiveness of your prayers and your walk with the Lord. So use some respect. And you treat her with gentleness. Colossians 3:19. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. I like it. It keeps it simple. Nice short verse. A man should treat women not only with respect and love, but with gentleness, with tenderness. Okay, so harshness. Harshness could be anything from an angry look and irritability to disrespectful and demeaning language. Basically, anything that shows hostility is harshness. He says to cut all that stuff out. Look, guys, we all have bad days. But we can't let what is eating at us and hurting us internally come out in the way that we're treating the women in our lives. It's really easy to let that stuff come out because it's inside. And to mistreat people because we're having a bad day. But God says, knock it off. He says, do not be harsh with them. And the last one we're going to look at today is to treat her with praise. Proverbs 31:28-29. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. That's pretty good. I didn't know that was in there until I found this verse. I like that one. It includes children and husbands, and it says, you beat them all. That's a good Mother's Day card, right? So guys, on your way out, when you have to go to Walmart because you didn't buy a card yet, look for one that has that verse on it. And then when you get in trouble for waiting until the last minute and I just ratted you out, don't come find me later. But a man should acknowledge a woman for all that she is. And don't take her for granted. That's really easy to do. And praise her. Build her up. I know Amanda does a lot of stuff to keep our family going. Especially with three crazy kids who can't keep it under control. And I know I don't praise her for it enough. And unfortunately, she's not even here to hear me say it. So if anybody could just tell her I said that later. I'll just direct her to the podcast. It'll be all right. Sometimes all she wants is for you to thank her, to acknowledge that you recognize who she is. Tell her who she is in your life, how important she is. She'll appreciate the fact that you appreciate her. So we've talked today about treating women with love, respect, gentleness, and praise. I'm sure there are a lot more things we could add to this list, but I know Zane doesn't want me to burn his roast. He always blames Jim. But I want to close with one thing I remember that I learned in college. There was only one thing I learned. just kidding. On one of my very first classes in my freshman year, one of my professors said something that I'll always remember, maybe not necessarily exactly what he said, but the heart of the message. And I want to share that with you today. Psalm 47:7 says, for God is the King of all the earth, sing praises with a psalm. And we sang a whole bunch of songs that said the same thing today, that God is King. God is the King. It's His kingdom. Romans 8:16 says, "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." Okay, guys, I don't think this is a really hard question, but if God is the king and the ladies are his children, what does that make them? Princess. Daughter of the king is a princess. Okay? First of all, ladies, you are princesses in the kingdom of God. And you should view yourselves as such. Guys, the ladies are princesses in the kingdom of God, and you should treat them as such. So, my challenge to you is to not just treat them this way on Mother's Day. By all means, treat them this way on Mother's Day. But there's 364 other days of the year that we need to treat the women in our lives with love, respect, gentleness, and praise. So that's my challenge for you. So, ladies, my message today was for the men in your lives, not for you. Well, hopefully it was for you too, but guys, now your wives know you've heard it. So now you got to do it. Let me pray for you. Lord God, I pray that you would just ingrain us with your view of the women in our lives. Lord, we are so grateful for them, and I pray that we would live like that is true. Help us to show that gratefulness, Lord, in love, respect, gentleness, and praise. Lord, we pray for the women in our lives today, that they would view themselves in the way that you view them, and that the way we treat them would reflect the way that you see them. Let this ring as a challenge each and every day for us, not just today. In your name we pray. Amen.